We're beginning a series in Philippians, and the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, Christians have the most reason to be joyful than anybody. And yet, you know, we are often, you know, if we look at our faces, it would not reflect joy a lot of the time. And, you know, a lot of things in life happen that can take away our joy, can quench our joy. The word joy, or words like gladness or joy or rejoicing in this little letter here that Paul wrote, is 19 times in 104 verses, which is about one, it mentions joy about every 5 verses on average. And it's interesting that at the time Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison in Rome. And also he had, and we'll see this in the message, we see that he had a thorn in the flesh. He had something wrong with him. Many people think it might have been his eyes. Other people think it could be something else. But he had something that was wrong with him. That he had asked God to remove 3 times, and God finally said, nope, ain't going to do it. Quit asking. And here he is in prison now with this infirmity, this problem with his body, whatever it was. And even though he had all these things wrong with him and all these things going on in his life that he'd rather not be happening, the overall message of the letter is that no matter where you're at, what you're going through, what circumstances you find yourself in, you can experience joy. You can have joy in the midst of your adversity. And so in this first message, we're going to look at the importance of remembering what God has done in your life. Finding joy in remembering, and how can sustain your joy in the midst of circumstances that simply aren't joyful. Because, see, joy is beyond all that. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at the first 6 verses of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so that's a passage for today. And we're just going to jump right into it. We've got a lot of things to talk about here. And then also we have baptism, praise the Lord, our first one for 2019. And so we got that as well today. So praise God for those things. So joy in our relationships, verse 1. You know, remember your relationships when your joy is kind of leaving you. And Paul says, you know, remember, he's in prison. Okay? He's not in that little, like, really good prison that he was in Jerusalem when he was really living in the house, you know, of a high official. He's in Rome now, and he's in prison, and it's not the best place to be. And he says, Paul and Timothy. So Timothy was there with him, faithful to him, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. You know, sometimes we feel like we're alone, and that, you know, in the midst of all this social media that we have and all this so-called connectivity that we have, people are lonely. It's not the same as being with someone. You shoot a little thing there. You know, I've got one of my sons, every year on his birthday, he cuts off his Facebook so that he doesn't get 500 messages, in his words, from people that never talk to him all year until it's his birthday, and then they, you know, then they say, happy birthday, thinking of you, you know, and it's not this son, it's not Jason, okay? But you know, he says, I don't want all these people that don't talk to me all year, that all of a sudden they're thinking of me, you know? I don't know what you do, because I don't do Facebook, but, you know, they you can block it or cut it off or, you know, whatever. He does that every year. But, you know, so many people, they got all these followers, and they got all the, you know, all these connections and all these friends and all this stuff, and yet they're lonely. They're lonely. And, you know, you got to remember your relationships. Because, you know, it's one thing to be a friend on Facebook or Twitter or whatever those things are, but it's another to have a relationship with someone. You know, a relationship is more than just, hey, happy birthday, thinking of you once a year, you know. It's about interacting with somebody on a regular basis. How's your relationship with God? You know, we like to say we have a relationship there, but are you interacting with Him on a regular basis? That's how you build a relationship. And God is all about relationships. And there's joy in relationships. You know, the fact that Timothy was with Paul. Timothy didn't have to be there. He wasn't under arrest. But, you know, the way the jails were back in there, you know, Paul had some freedoms. He was a Roman citizen. And so that gave him, you know, kind of a little better situation than someone that wasn't. And, you know, he could have a guy with him, and he had Timothy with him. But he was remembering, though, the saints that are in Philippi, because you see, Philippi was his first church in Europe. He had been in Asia doing all these things, and he got done, and he got to the edge of Asia, and he's like, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because he really kind of wanted to go more in Asia, and God wouldn't let him. And he talked about going east and going north and going south, and he said the Spirit of the Lord wouldn't allow him. And then he had this dream of the Macedonian saying, I need God, basically. And Macedonia was Europe. It was across this body of water from where Paul was. And so Paul goes, he looked at this vision as a kind of an affirmation of where he should go. And he goes across this body of water, and he comes to Philippi, and he starts a church there. And he remembers this. Here he is in prison. You know, things aren't going well. He doesn't know what the outcome's going to be, but he remembers the people in Philippi. And you know, sometimes we just got to remember the relationships that we have. And yeah, maybe we're not with them right at this very moment, but those are relationships that can give you joy in the midst of sometimes your loneliness when you're cut off. And so just remember, you're really not alone, especially if you have the Lord. Okay? You're not alone. He's right there with you. Second, this is a big one. Joy in refinement. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Refinement. Remember, okay, we remember our relationships. Remember that God is refining you when you suffer. Because he's saying, look, I need to give you, you know, grace to you, peace to you. Well, if you don't have peace, you need peace. If you're going through something, sometimes you need the grace to go through something. And so Paul's saying, grace to you, peace to you. You know, because God refines you. When you suffer loss, okay, when you suffer adversity in some way, you got to understand God wants to use that to refine you. Loss of freedom, loss of health, loss of relationship, you know, whatever it might be, God is refining you, and God gives us grace. He says, this is the part I was talking about with Paul. He's got this problem, and it says, concerning this is Paul speaking, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So, now here's an odd phrase. So I take pleasure in weaknesses. I take pleasure in insults. I take pleasure in catastrophes. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in pressure. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some of these things in my life, if not all of them, and I don't know that I took pleasure in them because of Christ, because of what Christ did. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Not because you have strength, but because the strength of God is in you and gives you the strength you need to go through whatever it is that's going on in your life. And He gives you the grace to do it. You know, I've seen people, they get in situations, you know, some very catastrophic situations, whether it be loss of a loved one or loss of, like, some of these people that lost everything they had in those fires and, you know, different things like that. And you know, they've lost all these things. And we can look at someone else, you know, maybe, you know, someone loses a child, whatever, and you're thinking, I could never go through that. But you know what? If it happened to you, you could, because God would give you the grace to go through it. You see, you don't get grace just for the sake of having it. And so when, you know, when things are going good and you look at somebody or some situation and you're like, wow, you know, I could never go through that. Well, yeah, if you're like you are right now, yeah, you couldn't. But you know what? When things happen, when you have a relationship with God, He comes and gives you the grace to go through or to deal with whatever that situation may be or that circumstance or that loss. Whatever it is, He can give you the grace. And then while you are weak, yet you are still strong enough to bear it, to go through it. Why? Because Christ strengthens you. It's grace, folks. We don't deserve it. It's getting something you don't deserve. Another verse. That's grace. Then we got peace. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah, for He is our peace. You know, we need peace with God. Now, as a Christian, you're not going to have peace in this world. In fact, the Bible tells us we are at war with what? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? You know, as soon as you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit moves in, changes you, and now all of a sudden, whoa, I'm even at war with myself now. Because I still got that sin nature. I still got that carnal desires, you know, that want to do things my way. But my spirit's telling me, because God has made my spirit come alive, and my spirit wants to do what's right, but you know what? My soul, my body, it wants to just do what it wants to do. And that's not always in line with what God would have me do. And so there's a battle there. And then there's just the world, the pressures of the outside philosophies and the culture. That's against me now. Because now I'm not thinking like I used to. And now the things that I once kind of went along with, I'm totally against. And it sets me at odds with a mindset, with a philosophy that's out there. And then lastly, there's Satan himself, because as soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, guess what? Now you really have an adversary, and he wants to destroy you. And so we need to understand that being a Christian doesn't bring you peace in that regard, but it brings you peace in the most important area of your life, and that's the relationship with the Lord your God. You now have peace with Him. You're no longer against Him. Jesus said, whoever's for me is not against me, and whoever's against me is not for me. And so we understand now that we are with Christ and we have peace with God. And it just doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And so God gives us grace and gives us peace. But why does He do that? Why does He need to do that in the midst of adversity? Because we're being refined. And that's the point of this point. Joy in refinement. And Peter wrote this. And I underlined certain things to make some points. Because we don't like to be refined. What is refining? Refining is talking about ore. Like when you dig for gold or silver. And it comes out, it's full of impurities. And how do they get the impurities out? They heat it up, don't they? Big time. They melt it, in fact. And then the impurities float to the surface and they get skimmed off. And do you understand that's exactly the term the Bible uses to describe you and me? I hate to break it to you, but you have impurities. You do. Every one of us does. We got things that are not pure because of our sin nature. Just things that are in our life. And Peter wrote about this and he says, you rejoice in this, talking about adversity. And there's that word rejoice. See, the Bible's consistent. But he says, you rejoice in this, though now. So one thing about being refined, one thing about being in the fire, one thing about being in adversity, you know, dealing with situations in our life, whether it be health or loss of relationships or even imprisonment or whatever, you are being refined. And you know what? It's now. It's not forever. And so we got to take heart. We got to be encouraged by that. The hard thing you are going through is not forever. It's now. It's what you're going through now. And then secondly, it's for a short time. It is for a short time. Now, you may say, well, I've had this thing for 30 years, or I've had this situation all my life. Some people have dealt with something all their life. But I'm here to tell you, even if you did have that situation all your life, it's just a short time. Eternity is a really long time, folks. A really long time. It's forever. So you can think of a million, billion, trillion years, right? And then you still got no less time. And yet our lives here, should we live to be 100? And should every one of those years be a hard time? 100 years is a drop compared to the ocean of eternity. It's like a drop of water in the ocean. Listen, it's a short time. You got to get eternal perspective. That's what will help keep you in joy in the midst of a hard thing. You got to get the perspective that God wants us to have. So it's for a short time. And then this is the part you're not going to like. You say, well, I don't already like the first two parts. Well, you're really not going to like the third one. You have had to struggle in various trials. You had to. It was necessary for you to have certain struggles in your life. You have to. Because you know what? You're not perfect. Bible tells us that God is what? Conforming us to the image of His Son. Let me ask you, are you just like Jesus? No, you're not. None of us are. Jesus lived a sinless life. Can you say that? No. None of us can. And there's stuff in us that needs to be refined out of us. Now, everybody has different trials, and that's why it says you had to struggle in various trials. Why? Because, you know, the trial that you go through, that might not have been necessary for me, but I got something going on in my life that's doing something in me that might not have been necessary for you. It's various trials. But God asked to do it. It's the only way we'll change. You don't change on the mountaintop, folks. When you're on the mountaintop, what do you try to do? Not change. You want to stay there, right? But it's in the valley. It's in the dark time that we get real with God. And that God can do something in us that will change us. He says you had to. In various trials, so that what? So the genuineness of your faith. Is your faith genuine? Trials is what reveals that. It's real easy to say, oh, you know what? I have faith and, you know, I would never denounce Christ. Well, if someone had a gun to your head, now how genuine is your faith? Or even worse, someone has a gun to the head of someone you love and they're questioning you. Now how genuine is your faith? And that stuff's happening, folks. That stuff's happening in this world. So we have trials, and he says the genuineness of our faith, and that faith, that when we have genuine faith, it's more valuable than gold, which perishes through what? Though refined by fire. We're being refined. And we need grace and peace to do that, to go through it. That's why Paul said, grace and peace to you, because you know what? You're going to be refined. And you're going to need all the grace God has and all the peace you can have to weather that so that you come out. That it may what? Result in what? Praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are improved. When we go through the trial, it makes us more like Jesus, to His praise, to His glory, to His honor. It's not about, see, we got to get our head away from it's about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And we got to get a hold of that. Now, does Jesus love us? Yes. Does God love us? Yes. Does He want the best for us? Yes. But He also is busy conforming us to the image of His Son and using us to have impact on His kingdom. And that means refinement, to make us more useful. I told you you wouldn't want to hear this. But there is joy in refinement. So when, you know, when the things are not going right, you can say, you know what, Lord, I praise You. I rejoice in the fact that You are working on me. You are making me. You're still engaged with me. You're still interested in my walk. I'm not on the side of the road. I haven't been set on a shelf. You are still involved in my life. That is something to be rejoicing about. Third, there's joy in remembering. It's been 10 years or so since Paul was in Philippi. So when things get tough, he's in prison, he's hurting, he starts remembering what God has done. In verses 3 through 6, we see joy in remembering. And so first of all, in verse 3, we have joy in the past. Remember how God worked in you to minister to others. Remember this, how God worked in you. He says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. When you're in the midst of the trial, when you're in the midst of the adversity, are you thankful? It's hard, huh? I give thanks to my God. He's remembering what went on in Philippi. And let me refresh your memory. I'm sure he remembered many things, but there's three things that we know happened in Scripture. First, there was a faithful woman. A woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. And after she and her household were baptized, she urged us, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. You know, he took a lot of joy. He went down to this river. Somebody talked about going down to the river. He went down to this. Hopefully this was in a better sense. But Paul goes down to the river, and there's these women down there, and they're doing their laundry and they're, you know, and all over. And they also worship there on the Lord's day, and he went down there, and he witnesses, and Lydia believes. And she was a pretty wealthy person, so she's kind of on the higher end of the scale. A dealer in purple. This was an upper class person. And she says, come, stay in my house. And so, you know, her house became headquarters for Paul. He had this great memory. Here he is in prison now. He was once living in this house with this wealthy woman. I mean, it was probably pretty nice. Good food. Probably had servants. Okay? Things were good. But he remembers this and he takes joy in it. Then there's this other person, a possessed slave in Philippi. Said, once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit of prediction. That's a nice way of saying she was demon possessed. And her owners, she was a slave, so now we've gone from a wealthy woman all the way to the bottom of the spectrum. A slave that's not only a slave physically to a person, in other words, owned, but a slave to Satan. She's got a demon in her. And the owner recognizes that this slave has, you know, certain powers. Because let me tell you something, folks. Satan has power. Don't just sit there and think he's like a toothless lion. He's not. Now we have the victory. But Satan's still destroying stuff, isn't he? He's still destroying families and people. And he had a hold of this girl. And she made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and us and she cried out, these men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the slaves of the Most High God. That is crazy. A demon-possessed person is crying this out. And she did this for many days. Think about it. He's walking everywhere he's going. Here's this slave girl. Hey, this guy's preaching truth. He's the slave of the Most High God. It says Paul was greatly aggravated. I can identify with that. You know, if you're trying to do something and here's this person, you ever have that person that's just around you all the time, always talking, won't shut up? It's pretty aggravating, right? Everybody's laughing now. You know somebody in your life. But he said what? He said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out right away. He remembered that. God did a miracle. See, Paul didn't do that. That's power of God. And he remembered that, and it gave him joy that he freed this girl, not physically, but spiritually. She was freed. And then he remembers this third one, the trembling jailer. The trembling jailer. Midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And they're in prison, by the way. They are in prison, chained, and praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shook. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. Because in Rome, if your prisoner gets away, you're executed. But Paul called out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself because all of us are here. And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Because you see, yeah, he was sleeping there while they were singing, but you know Paul, he was preaching in that jail the whole time he's there. Anybody that would listen, and that jailer had to have heard it. You know, sometimes it's not the person you're talking to that gets the message. I was in Peru once. Well, I was in Peru five times. But one of the times I was in Peru, we were at a shopkeeper's house, or not her house, her business. It was a lady, had a little store. And we're sitting there witnessing to her. And when we got done, I asked her, would you like to receive the Lord? And she said, no. That's disappointing, you know. But, so I start to walk away. Her son had been standing over here. We didn't even know he was there. He was sitting over in the corner. And he stood up and he goes, I want to pray. And we just kind of looked at her and she goes, hey, you can do what he wants. And so here we were witnessing to her. That guy was listening. So yes, she was not the intended fruit. But the young man was. And so we went over and shared with him, and he prayed to receive Jesus. You know, it's not always the person you're talking to, folks. Sometimes it's just someone that hears. But the jailer, here's a guy that's not spiritual. He's Roman, pagan. He's middle class. You know, he's got a job. He's not wealthy, but he's not a slave. So we see Paul ministered to all three levels of society. And God did great things. And when he was in this Roman jail, prison, he's writing this joyful letter. Why? Because he's remembered, man, these things. And there's probably other stuff, no doubt, that happened in Philippi. But these are the three that we know about because it's recorded in Acts. And he's remembering, it's given him great joy. There's joy in the past, folks. Remember what God has done. Sometimes things are happening right now and you just don't see where God is in it. So start remembering what God has done. And you can have joy. Joy in prayer. He says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Remember to pray on behalf of others. He remembered these people. You know, he remembered these ones that he impacted for the ministry, and he was also remembering the overseers or the preachers, the deacons, you know, all the saints, the church members. He was remembering this. And he says, you know what? I'm always praying with joy for you. The joy from his ministry, the ministry that God gave him for that time in Philippi. He's looking back and he's remembering and he's like, you know what? I have a lot of joy in praying because I saw what God did in them. And he's still doing it. He's still getting letters from them and stuff. Philippi was a very faithful church to Paul. Philippi was the only church that gave him offerings that Paul accepted anyway. So Philippi had a special place in Paul's heart. And he's remembering it and he's praying with joy on what God has done and is doing in that church. Remember to pray. You know, when you're feeling bad, you know, you're in a situation, you know what helps a lot? Pray for someone else. Get involved in someone else's life and help them. It's pretty therapeutic. It'll help you. When you get your mind off yourself and start thinking about others, it helps you. You see, Jesus is others-oriented. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he's others-oriented? It wasn't just about him, or he'd have been off that cross, folks. If it was just about him. But it's about others. And it's really the difference in the gospel. You know, before we're saved, we're selfish. Now, sometimes after we're saved, we battle selfishness. Okay, I'm not saying it goes away. Because we all have that nature to want things our way. But it's purely selfishness before salvation. After, you start being concerned about others. That's the Lord working in you. So when you got things going on and it's not good, get involved in others. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how God will work in you as you work for others. Joy in partnership. I give thanks. It's one sentence. So I'm just going to keep reading the whole sentence. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, part of what gave him the joy was remembering how they worked together for the sake of the gospel, spreading the gospel, and how when he was in other places and needed money, the church at Philippi sent him money. And he's remembering that. He says, your partnership in the gospel. Because you see, that's what really gives you joy, is when you have eternal impact on people. It's exciting when you lead someone to the Lord. It's exciting when you ask someone if they want to pray and they go, yeah, I do. That's exciting. And if you've never experienced it, You can have an opportunity because I'm going to teach a class starting March 17th. And you can become equipped and you can become confident, at least confident enough to share. And you'll be surprised the first time someone says, yeah, I would like to pray. You're like, I remember one time it happened to me early. I didn't even know what to do when they said yes. I wasn't ready for it. I just expected rejection. They're like, yes. And I'm like, I hadn't really thought about what we were going to pray. You know, I just expected a rejection. But it's pretty exciting. You know what? Lord gave me words. You know, I wasn't written in it, but it also woke me up like, oh, whoa, you know what? Do you go into things expecting God to do something? I mean, it's almost like sometimes we go, like, we have an attitude. We wouldn't say this, but you go up to somebody and go, you don't really want to accept the Lord today, do you? Well, of course you wouldn't do that, but sometimes that's our attitude. It's like we're thinking, do you go to the person thinking God's going to do something? God's going to work a miracle today in this situation? Remember, this is all about what? Our faith. Growing our faith. Refining our faith. I think a lot of times the reason we're not successful is we may approach somebody, we don't even believe anything's going to happen. No, went down that road. Anyway, remember those who worked with you for the gospel. And you hear me talk a lot about Peru. Man, there was a lot of people that got affected by the gospel there. That's why I have such memories of it. Over those years that I went. And now in Kenya was a different kind of a thing, but I have a lot of memories. It's recent, so I have more memories because it's recent. But, you know, it's just when you're doing stuff with the gospel, man, those are the memories that whatever's going on in your life right now, you can have joy. Because you remember, all this is temporary. It's short. But those people that you lead to the gospel will be with you forever. Joy in the promise. Last verse, 6. Last for today. I am sure of this. He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What's God started in you? Think about where you were before you had Christ. The things you thought, the way you thought, the things that were important to you, things that were priorities for you, things that weren't priorities for you. And you start contemplating, where am I now? What's important to me now? You know, where am I investing my time, my money, my talents, you know, all those things now? Things have changed. And remember God's promises. You know, He's saying, He who started a good work in you, when did He start it? At salvation. That's the start. He said, but He's going to carry it on. Till either you die or Jesus comes again. Whatever happens first. He's going to carry it on. Joy in the promise, folks. God's not done with you. He has promised to finish with you. And so when you're going through a trial, take a little joy. God's still working on me. God's still refining me. He hasn't left me out. And He's remembering the promises. You know, He's writing this specifically to the church in Philippi. And He's saying, but God's going to work and complete it. Do you understand that the work God is doing in the people that maybe you were connected with, maybe you're not connected with them now, but He can still complete the work without you? You know, sometimes we think, boy, if I don't take care of it, it's not going to get done. You know, sometimes that's true. Sometimes God does want you to finish it. But sometimes you got to hand it off, man. Sometimes God pulls you and puts you somewhere else and you're not going to be the one. But you got to have faith that whatever God started in that situation, He's going to complete it. You need to remember the promises. Because sometimes we get down because, oh wow, I'm not there anymore. They're going through a hard... God's still there. It's not hinging on us. Okay? It hinges on Him. And He's able. And He's faithful. And He's going to complete what He started. And you may be in on that, and you may not. But you just rejoice because of what God is doing. Many times we have little or no control over the circumstances we find ourselves in. You know, sometimes things happen. You didn't ask for it. You didn't count on that. You didn't do anything. But it happens. Now, there's other times we find ourselves in circumstances. It's just because we did it. You know, we just made a bad move, bad choice, bad decision. But sometimes if something happens, you know, it just happens. But regardless, we do have control over how we react to those circumstances, whether they're of our making or just part of life that happened. We have control over how we react. We need to take stock on how we react to the things that go on in our life. Things that's in our life right now. A key part of having joy in the midst of adversity is to have an attitude of thankfulness. That doesn't mean you're thankful for the adversity. Nobody in their right mind is going to be like, wow, I sure am glad. You know, you fill in the blank, you know. But it's about having that joy that surpasses the circumstances. It's there. The circumstances don't have anything to do with it. Why? Because we are thankful for what God has done. That's why this whole message is about remembering what God has done and is doing. Because He's currently doing something in your life too. And we need to remember that and have an attitude of thanksgiving. We have a nation that is not very thankful. We do have a nation, and we also, you know, coupled with that is we have a nation made up of people that think they deserve something. Now, we need to have an attitude of thankfulness, folks, and if it doesn't start in the church, it's certainly not going to spread to the world. We got to be thankful. Yeah, even in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. Have a thankful attitude, a thankful spirit. Because remember, it's just right now. It's just a short time. God is doing it to refine you, to make you better, to make you more like Jesus. And be thankful that He's working in your life. And be thankful that it isn't forever. And be thankful and start to try to look at how God used you in the lives of others. If you let Him. Paul had no memory which did not bring a response of thanks from his heart to God. It's kind of a double negative, but whatever. There was no memory that he had that didn't bring a response of thankfulness. He was thanking God all the time. The very remembrance of all God had done through Paul in Philippi overwhelmed him with joy. Even though he's in prison, he's got the thorn in the flesh that's never gone away, and God said it's never going to go away, yet he was joyful. He's rejoicing. He's praising God. He's still allowing God to use him. Is that not our example? So let's be like Paul. And serve the Lord so that when adversity comes, and it will, it's not if it comes, when it comes, we can find joy in remembering. Remembering. I hope I hope this was encouraging. I know, you know, it's talking about stuff that we don't want to talk about, we don't want to deal with, but hey, not thinking about it doesn't make it go away. But it talks about how we can respond. We can have joy. We can have peace in the midst of stuff that we'd rather not go through. And we can have impact on others to the glory of God. What a great thing. What a great God we have. And remember the promises. God, there's a lot of promises that God made in His Word. Man, when you get depressed or down, start reading. You know, you can Google promises of God in the Bible, and you know, somebody told me once there's like 20,000 of them or something in there. I don't know who's got time to count those things, but there's a bunch of promises. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will lift you up with my right hand. You know, and on and on and on and on. Remember what God has promised. Remember what He's doing. Remember what He has done. And count on what He's going to do. Because He's faithful to His Word. He's going to complete you. True joy starts with salvation. And there may be someone here, you don't have joy, the kind of joy I'm talking about. Now, you know, many times we can be happy, kind of joyful on things. But this is about the joy that passes all our circumstances, all the stuff, all the adversity. There may be someone here, you don't have that joy. And that's because you don't have Jesus. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have what you need to have joy. And that's a relationship with God. And there's only one way to have that, and that's through Jesus Christ. Faith in Him and what He did on the cross. There may be someone here that you need that joy, and the only way you're going to get it is through Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, there may be people in here today that are struggling, and you're lacking joy. You're letting your circumstances overwhelm you, the adversity overwhelm you. There may be some in here that you may recognize today, you need to be more thankful. You've been just kind of counting all the things that are going wrong, and that maybe you need to start counting the things that went right, and you can be thankful. There may be some that you just need to start remembering what God's already done in your life. You need to remember the things that God has given you. You may need to start being thankful that God is refining you, even though the process is not pleasant. That's mature Christianity, folks. That's what God's called us to be. He says, you know, in Hebrews, the Bible says, you know, I keep having to give you milk, and I should be giving you meat. This is meat, folks. This isn't just feel-good Christianity. This is like Christianity in the midst of what life really is, with its ups and its downs and its positives and negatives and the trials, the tribulations, and the victories and the rejoicing that takes place in that as well. Where are you at? How's God moving you at this time? We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I cannot experience the joy you're talking about because I don't have the author of that joy within me, and that's Jesus. I've never admitted I'm a sinner. I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never trusted on what He did on the cross on my behalf. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I will not embarrass you or point you out. I just want you to come to knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus, of God through Jesus Christ. I just want that with all my heart. For the rest of us, how many would say, right now, I'm going through some things and I am lacking joy in my life. I recognize that. I need prayer. Anybody like that? I'm lacking joy. God bless you. thank you for just being real. Just being honest. God bless you. How many would say, my attitude needs to be one of thankfulness, and I haven't had that. I need to be thankful, and I just haven't been. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you once again for being real. God bless you. I see those hands. Amen. How many would say, I need to start remembering what God's already done in my life? I've kind of let go of that, and I've just been focusing on the situation, and I need to start remembering that God has done some mighty things in my life, and I need to rejoice. Who is that? Amen. God bless you. Wow. A lot of hands there. God bless you. Yeah, sometimes we get a little complacent, don't we? We kind of take some things for granted, and we need to be thankful. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you. I think of these people. I know there's struggles in this room. I know there's things people are going through that they'd rather not be. And Lord God, I pray that your Spirit would minister to them in such a way that they would be joyful in the midst of trials, that they would be thankful in the midst of adversity. Lord God, that they would remember what you have done in their life and take heart in that, and have the courage and the stamina to go forward for you regardless of what's going on in their life. And Lord, only you can do that in the hearts of your people. Only you can do those things, Lord. I've just simply reminded them of what your word says. Lord God, it is up to you to do this work, and I pray you would touch us through your Spirit, Lord, that we would have the joy. It just doesn't make sense to people that don't have you. And Father God, we will trust you for the result. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is your time. As Kathy plays, many hands were raised. God is dealing with many people here today. Make sure you respond to him now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till later. Now is the time to respond, because God has done something and he's doing something, and you need to respond to it. So you can come forward. I will pray with you. You can deal with God, with a neighbor, with a friend, by yourself, but you need to act on what God has brought to your heart today. This is your time. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, indeed thankful and joyful for what you have done, for what you are doing, for what you are going to accomplish. Lord God, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit, Lord. May we be joyful in a way that is honoring to you, Lord, that our faith would grow and be refined, Lord, that we would bring you glory and honor, Lord, that you could use us in a greater way in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be others-oriented and not to just have our mind just on ourselves all the time, Lord. But that we would take care of things, Lord, regarding our situation, but, Lord, always be looking forward to what you want to do through us in the lives of others, Lord, and that we would have joy from that. And Lord God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for those that raise their hands, Lord, that you are working in them, Lord. You are moving them in such a way. I pray, Lord, that they would be active in seeking your will for their lives, Lord. And Lord God, we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all that you do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is Nappy ready? Oh, we gotta take the lid off here. Won't it be nice if we can get that building built? All right, I think I can function here. All right. Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna wear your socks in there, huh?
Yes.
Okay, just step over the top. There you go. Careful. Alright. Turn around. Okay, you can sit down. This is Napoleon Roper. But we call him Nappy.
As I nap.
Because he naps, he says. Although he stayed awake in the sermon today, so that's
not
pretty
good.
Not at church. And he just went through our membership class. And he had come to me previous to that, knowing that he needed to be baptized scripturally. And as we went through the membership class, he expressed that desire again. And so we talked about it. And so here we are, because in order to be a member here, you have to be saved. You have to know the Lord as your Savior, and you have to be scripturally baptized. So. And he wanted to go ahead and do that, so that's why we're here today. And thank you, Nappy, for your testimony.
Thank you.
And we're going to see if I can get a little better angle here. Here we go. All right. And so, Nappy, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I did. I have.
Amen. Okay. There we go. In obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ and upon a public profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Now, one more order of business that we don't normally do during a baptism, but now that he has been baptized, he can become a member of the church, so we need to vote. So all in favor of Nappy being part of our fellowship here, please say amen.
Amen.
Anybody opposed? Okay. Thank you. And so Nappy, welcome.
Thank you.
Is this yours?
Yeah, that's mine.
Let me get it around your shoulders there.
So we can knock down the water.
All right. One of the things that will be great about the new building will be we won't have to climb into this thing. Have a little bit better accessible baptistry. So we were going to have another one today, but that person had something going on. That they couldn't make it today, so there will be another one in the near future, I believe. And but anyway, God's still working in people's lives, still conforming them to His image, still changing them and doing miraculous things. And praise God for a God that is always there, concerned with His children.